He's been called the world's most famous art historian and critic. Robert Hughes was combative, intellectually brilliant, and applied his lyrical writing style to huge sweeps of history with books like The Shock of the New and The Fatal Shore, along with his Time magazine column of more than three decades. Now the Australian who made his home in New York City has died at the age of 74, as Lindy Kerin reports.
As with so much of the life of Robert Hughes, his entry into the career that made him famous was a colourful one.
Horn came blasting and blazing into the outer office where we were all sitting around drunk after lunch, and he said, "I've just fired the art critic. Who here knows anything about art? You must know something about art. You're the cartoonist. Well, you're the art critic now." And that's how it all started.
Speaking there in 2006 with Andrew Denton, Hughes told the story of his journey from architecture student to newspaper cartoonist and ultimately to art critic. And today it all ended. His wife Doris left to make official the news that her husband had passed away peacefully at hospital in the Bronx. His niece Lucy Turnbull told the ABC he'd been suffering ill health for some time.
Well, he was, you know, the most fabulous and fantastic uncle anybody could have ever had, and great uncle too. He, you know, for many, many years when I was growing up, I first got to know him when I was a very little girl, and he was dazzling in his presence.
His work as an art critic was once described as cruel, and he described how he'd been king hit by artists whose work he'd criticised.
You can't be a critic and not have a harsh side. You know, because otherwise you turn out to be a sort of Pollyanna who imagines that, you know, like you know, you become this total asshole who wanders around the world thinking every sprig of clover is a rose.
Born and schooled in Sydney, Robert Hughes moved to London and then New York in the 1970s, where he made his name as an art critic for Time magazine.
There was a point a few years ago when the best statistics I could get on this was that the art schools of America every year were turning out 35,000 graduates, you know, painters, potters, sculptors, blah, blah, blah. Now, that means that the art schools every 2 years turned out as many artists as there had been people in Florence in the last quarter of the 15th century at the height of the Renaissance. A truly preposterous situation. Assuming that each of these people paints, let's say, conservatively 20 pictures a year, you know, you've got all these millions of pictures ticking up like an unpayable taxi bill. Where do they all go? Where's the elephant's graveyard? I mean, there must be some place out in New Jersey. I don't know.
In 1987, he published the international bestseller The Fatal Shore on the life of convicts during the white settlement of Australia. Publisher Michael Haywood first met Robert Hughes in the 1980s.
He's one of the great post-war talents. He was a prodigiously talented writer, and Bob belonged to that generation who, after the war, and particularly clustered around Sydney University, Clive James was one, Germaine Greer when she went up there from Melbourne, and Bob was he was a towering talent. He had an amazing descriptive capacity in his writing. He was very precocious. He wrote a still very important history of Australian art in his late 20s. And he then went on to become a sublime essayist with, you know, when he went to New York and wrote for Time, and transformed himself from being that kind of very, very superior journalist into, first of all, a great art historian with The Shock of the New, and then a great historian, period. The Fatal Shore. There will never be a better account of the convict period that reaches more readers than The Fatal Shore. It was an absolutely epic, popular work of history.
Friend Malcolm Turnbull says despite the fact that he lived overseas for more than three decades, Robert Hughes was still very fond of Australia.
He was very tied to Australia. Bob lived in New York for really since the late 70s, I recall. Mid-70s, he was very much an Australian, and he brought to the world of art and society in general the sceptical eye of Australia, and you know, he wasn't taken in by or bamboozled by, you know, the great and the good, you know, received wisdom. He had no difficulty shooting sacred cows, and he was, you know, that is what made him, I think, so effective.
Michael Haywood says Robert Hughes continued writing but found it difficult after a car accident in the far north coast of Western Australia in 1999 nearly took his life.
Well, he very nearly died, and his body was really, really badly mashed up. He had to learn to walk again. He had endless bouts of surgery after the accident. And for someone who had such a strong physical presence, I think it was a very traumatic event for him. And I think that's right. He never fully recovered from it.
The death of his son Danton more than 10 years ago also took a toll, but his personal battles did not detract from the larger-than-life man, described today in the New York Times as an eloquent, combative art critic and historian who lived with an operatic flair and wrote with a sense of authority that owed more to Zola or Ruskin than to his own century.
Lindy Kerin reporting.